Welcome to Office Hours. If you have a question, please go ahead and drop it in the Office Hours text chat. There's a couple of channels above this one that we're currently in, and we'll get them answered in the order that they appear. We have a question flooding in, so fantastic. We'll get to it right away. So Tiki asks, I know an empty world takes around 20 megabytes. I have a custom world that uses 1.6 gigabytes. 1.66 gigabytes. The usage report only shows the world as one big blob. How can I understand what is taking space in the world? Take a look in the world and maybe try saving parts of it separately to see how big those are. Do you remember that the file space reporting isn't entirely accurate in some cases? So an empty world probably won't take 20 megabytes because it's mostly assets that are everywhere, so they don't really meet your quota. As for the world that is taking 1.66, save different parts of the world, see if there's anything large in there. Make sure you've got the cleanup unused assets thingamabob turned on. You can also do that from the asset cleanup wizard to try and clean that up. Look through all the slots, make sure that there's stuff there. If need be, and I only say this, like, I only do this, like, when I really, really need to. I actually also look in the assets folder. You shouldn't really go in there too much, but you can mess stuff up by just, you know, doing incorrect stuff in there. But take a look inside the assets folder. Make sure there's nothing in there that for some reason isn't being cleaned up. Keep an eye on your textures and materials there. It's surprising how many sort of the CC0 materials as well are 2 or 4K, and then they really don't need to be. So maybe it's that. Moving forward to Lex's question, who asks, what's a good way of presenting educational content, in this case, complex geometry, to the Neos community in a way that makes sense to most people, or at least intrigued? You mean like mathematically complex geometry? I like the worlds and experiences which like let people play with it. So a good example would be the neural network world that was produced for MMC, I believe it was 2022. By a team that involved Orange. I don't remember who was on the like entire team there, but they gave you sort of a history of AI, and then they let you play with a very simple artificial intelligence that can play Pong, and they let you play with it in a way where you can like you can interact with it. There's also a few worlds by me where I sort of lay out stuff in a way that can be played with. If anyone that's hung out with me enough, you've probably seen some of my mathematical things where I've sort of started trying to build a sort of museum of maths with having different educational ways of showing content. As a help to that, I want to link this again. I think I linked it in a previous office hour, so I just pushed a weird button and Chrome did a weird thing I've never seen it do before. Okay, strange. I understood Pythagoras as a kid with a humongous amount of explanation and understanding, right? Traditional stuff. But the video that I just linked gives people something that you can play with. Like, I've seen a similar setup in a variety of museums, etc., that allows people to just, like, play with what's going on and see what happens. The context actually does help. So, Lex is talking about the monotile. That was discovered by someone completely unexpected, wasn't it? I can't remember, and I don't really have a chance to sort of read through this, but it's a tile that when you use, the pattern will never repeat. Something along the line of that. It's like really complicated. Make a world or a symbol or a... Sorry, not a world or a tool. That's what I mean, not a symbol. Make a world or a tool where people can play with the mathematics of that to see what's happening. All right, moving forwards to Cloud Panda's question. Expansion to Tiki's question. I have a 2.6-ish gigabyte... I have 2.6-ish gigabytes used out of 3 gigabytes for my cloud storage. I don't quite know what is eating up all that storage. I have some worlds and some avatars, and shouldn't take up that much storage as it is. What do you recommend doing to remedy that? Make sure you do the usage report. That will show you what's going on there. Keep an eye on things like videos, textures, etc. Those do mount up quickly, particularly if there are 4 or 8K textures. Moving forward to how do I do this report thing, is I'll jump ahead to LeClout, who says, how do I do the report thing? You can find that command on the wiki. I'll get you a link in just a second. Hey, there's a link to that. So it's NeosBot storage commands on the Neos wiki. We'll show you how to do that. Moving forwards to Exo's question. Exo the wiki asks, with the Tailroot virus being dealt with, how long should we have the various protections in our worlds? I don't know how to answer that. Because we still have the protections in the world for the previous instance of something similar to that in the actual code base. So I don't really know how to answer the question to that. The problem that occurs is, let's say it's a year or two down the line and someone spawns into your world and for whatever reason, they need to refer to where, take a look at, spawn, whatever the hell you want, an item that has that element on it. It will reinfect the population, particularly if any saving is going on. I don't really know how to answer that one in that regard. Then it'd be interesting if someone made like a detector and cleaner that kept data tracking somehow. Make sure you're following the guidelines, of course, on this. But like, let's say you had a detector that like just tapped some sort of web endpoint on the shoulder every time it found one to clean up. You could then graph those over time. You should do that anonymously as well. There's no need to know who it was or whatever. Just like, I found one, web server, I found one, and the web server goes, got it. And then you could graph that over time. And when that tails off down to like zero, you'd be like, okay, it's probably safe to do it now. It's interesting though, because if you look at the cases of things like smallpox or what's the one? No, smallpox has been eradicated manually. I don't know how because it's very difficult, but polio, that's the one. If you look at polio, it looks like it's been eradicated, but it hasn't. Occasionally there's a spike in polio cases, so that's why you're still vaccinated against it as a kid, or if you are in the UK. Linka says people might get annoyed by HTTP dialogue just for it. If you're the world host, no. Do it as the world host. If it's a popular headless as well, you can do it as the headless host, and then you're good. Do you double check the guidelines there? But because it's anonymized, it's basically like, I found this, not where it was found, it would be okay, I think. It's just, you know, the detection logic found a case of it. Boop. Tap a web address. I think that's all the questions we have, so I'm going to scroll up and down, make sure I haven't missed any. I have not. DOS is threat of the loop. What does the Tailroot virus do? It self-propagates itself into various systems, but hides in avatars' tail roots, hence Tailroot virus. And it will, when it gets attached to a user, it will emulate stick drift. It is quite malignant in the way that it hides. So even if you weren't working on avatars, you might find it inside the world. There are various detection systems and removers that you can find and use. I would recommend running them on anything you have saved recently. I would also recommend, for the meantime, unfortunately for the meantime, that if you're saving an avatar, you do it in a private world. I know that's problematic, but, you know. Or you have a detection system where an alarm goes off when one is found, because when one instance of it is found, there'll be surely more coming, and it's really, really annoying. And not that I want to, like, you know, rant on ahead about this more, but if you're in a public world and you're editing your avatar, like, maybe don't. Like, build something cool. Build an experience. Build something that reaches out, touches me, and says, I exist. I am a cool experience. Because then at least it's, you know, constrained to that experience. There are no... There are no additional questions, so just make sure you get those questions in and I'll answer them in the order that they appear. Otherwise, we'll sit here in silence. Hope everyone's day is going fantastic. Tabbing around back to the chat. Jackal asks, have I missed an update? How your move is going? Whether you settled in yet? The move is at the end of the week. I go on about it a lot because I find moving really stressful. But yeah, it's the end of the week. An update there is, I'm amazed at how much you can pack whilst maintaining functionality of an apartment. What I mean by that is, I have a ton of boxes packed, but I can still, you know, drink water, make tea, use the bathroom, like everything in there, not just the toilet, you know, like showering, washing hands, everything in the bathroom, perfectly fine in there. My computer still works, VR still works. I am down two base stations though, because they're in the way, so I took those down. Bookshelf's completely empty, but I'm still sat here talking to you guys at office hours. I know it'll be like a real move when I start losing functionality. So, you know, when I can't sleep in the bed or I can't make food or whatever. Linker asks how RuneScape is going. We'll go there until, if a Neos question appears, we will abruptly stop because this is a Neos See, okay, we've got to stop immediately. We've got a Neos question. Never mind, no RuneScape. I'm actually happy about that. Tiki asks, when optimizing a world for performance, what's the best to start with between lighting, materials, and colliders? Start with materials because that will affect the world the most. Like, what I'm trying to basically do is, like, when you optimize stuff, you want to preserve the original intention of the world. So if you have sort of like, I don't know, I always go to this art example, I don't know why, someone make this, like a moody backwater sort of, you know, dive bar in like a you know, a very quiet, dark street. You know, you still want that atmosphere to be there. And so if you're optimizing and somehow you lose that because of optimization, that's like the wrong way to optimize. So start with materials and lighting. Do colliders last? Because colliders shouldn't affect the visual and functional parts of the world. They just affect performance. But if you don't start with materials and lighting, then you might end up with a point where it's like, oh, I've optimized everything else about this world, but this material is like wrong, so I've got to swap it out. Now, I don't know, the bar counter's a different type of wood or whatever, and I have ruined the whole aesthetic that I was going for. And if you do materials then lighting, it means you don't get into the point where like, oh, this material's now too light because, like, I, you know, there's now light on it. I know it's too light. Now I'm going to make it dark. So it's just like, you know. Also consider what people use in the world. I've seen a common thing in VR chat, for example, is like every single goddamn world has the pool set up, you know, where you can play pool, the game. Not a pool as in swimming pool, with the snooker, but baby snooker. That's what some people call pool. Every single world in VR chat has Udon pool, and it's not used. It's just not used. So just don't put it in the world. Or consider not putting it in the world. And again, that'll be a lot more optimization. Because remember that each of those balls has a texture. And if there are too many balls, there's too many textures. And then there's too many materials. I mean, hopefully those balls are atlased into one material, but it is VR chat. I think it says VR chat has texture streaming, though, unlike us. We have file streaming, right? When you load into a world and stuff. But, you know. Do you need balls in your world? No. Particularly with Neos, where, like, if someone wanted to play billiards, pool, whatever, they could spawn out a table and just plop it down in the middle. Like I said, sometimes Neos client doesn't even load from cache. It just really downloads them from the cloud. What's the point of having cache? It downloads from the cache from the cloud when it senses that it needs to for whatever logic that it might have. If that logic is broken or problematic, then it's probably a bug that we need to fix. So I'm noticing a lack of questions, so let's go back up to RuneScape. Oh, no, here we go. We got a question. This is great. Threatened to talk about RuneScape and people post Neos questions. This is amazing. Tiki asks, in continuation of the question, how bad of a hit on performance do very complex mesh colliders all around the world do? Mesh colliders are bad on high-poly things. Where you are colliding with them a lot or in differing ways. Example here might be, let's say you have a mesh collider that's just a square, right? It's floor. It's floor, so it's a square. That's okay, right? Because the poly count should be low. But now let's say that that it's not like regular floor, it's terrain. Okay, that's a little bit worse because the terrain is a bunch of sort of meandering triangles that make the sort of bumps and the valleys and the hills in the terrain. Now let's go up to that. If it's the $8 chicken nugget, touching that or walking on that is very painful. Would not suggest. Beyond that, if the mesh collider is active, you're gonna die. A good way to remember this is that if it's not a mesh collider, and if it's not a... I'm just putting convex hull colliders in a different category. Those are more efficient than mesh colliders, but just putting them in a different category just for now. If it's a primitive collider that is not a convex hull collider, the mathematics for determining whether you are colliding for it with it are very simple because they're volume based. It's, are you inside the volume of this collider, which is very easy mathematically. With a convex hull, there's different maths I don't quite understand, but with mesh colliders, it's, are you inside every single triangle of this mesh? And it does it on a triangle level, because right, it doesn't know what the structure of the mesh is, so it has to sort of test every triangle. So if your mesh has 100k triangles, that's 100k tests. If your mesh has one triangle, that's one test. Hence why a floor is okay, because if a floor is just a square, then it should just be two triangles. Unless, yeah, Fusion 360 makes it a lot. I've noticed that architectural tools and 3D printing tools make more complex geometry because they need that level of detail because they're going to a CNC machine, they're going to a CAD machine, they're going to a 3D printer. They need that detail. So it doesn't really apply to architectural or printy things. So then you ask, what's the weird Collider Havagugu 2.0 thing? That is HVAC or HCAV, I can't remember which way around it is, mesh decomposition. I have a video on that on my channel. More people should use it. Additionally, there is someone who in the comments sort of mentioned how they use it, which completely destroys the point of using it. So try not to do that, but I'll link the video in just a second. I talk about the simplicity of that here as well. In the video, I talk about how a cat, actually the cat pictured in the thumbnail there, convex hull decomposes very well, but how the convex hull decomposition for the chicken nugget isn't that good. But then I also talk about how for the there's a conference table in the middle of the world during that tutorial. There's no real need to update the collision meshes for that conference room table. It's very low poly. There's also a version of that cat in my meme folder where I've selectively removed a few of the convex hulls and textured the convex hulls as bread, so it looks like the cat is sort of embedded in bread. It is very good. I couldn't tell you how it works, though. There's like, if you like click the help icon, it's like, yeah, if you change the theta number, it does like magical blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, great. I have no idea what that means. There's also the Luga Luga cat and then the meme folder. That one doesn't work as well. I want to rewrite it. But my meme folder is just a journey through insanity. Like, whereas, like, memes in popular culture are things which are very widely known, my meme folder is stuff that is very widely known to me, but no one else. So everyone's going through it, and they're just like, what the hell is going on? It's just like, I don't know. Okay, we're going to try and go back to RuneScape, okay? This means more Neo's questions. This is amazing. I love this. So, RuneScape had a bunch of promotions stacked on top of each other, which are really frustrating me right now, because it means I can't do what I'm trying to do, which is get to 95 divination. But, so first of all, they had this event called the Golden Cape event, and that you had to do like a bunch of just crazy stuff to get Golden Cape shards. 8 Golden Cape shards made you a Golden Cape. The Golden Cape is going for like 13 million gold right now, so like I was doing it for the money. But it turns out that the Golden Cape gets you a buff for 30 days, which means any gathering that you do immediately teleports to your bank. So if you're mining, rather than it going into your inventory, it teleports to your bank. So when that started, I then had to spend basically 30 days making use of that. So I decided to train mining, because mining is very simple. There are other gathering skills like woodcutting, but sometimes a tree doesn't respawn, so you have to like walk around and click a different tree or find another tree. But for mining, you stand in one spot, and you just periodically have to click the rocks, and it will continue mining. And so I got mining from like level 59 all the way to 91, in those 30 days, and there's still 6 days left. And I've progressed through the ores, so much so that every time I now hear the mining sound, I'm making 4K, because I'm mining top level ore. Like, I hear like, whack, it's 4K, whack, 4K, whack, 4K, and it immediately goes to my bank. So it's really profitable. But during that, they also had a beach event, where you had to go to a beach and do a bunch of beach events. The beach events were great EXP, apparently, but I didn't really do them. There was also sandy clue scrolls. Now, sandy clue scrolls are different from regular clue scrolls in that they are themed for the beach and given to you by a lady called Sandy. Now, the best way to do sandy clue scrolls, here's a like little tip for next time the beach happens, maybe do a RuneScape-themed office hours at another time, is if you collect the sandy clue scrolls on a non-member's world, the pool of clues that they pull from is much smaller. So swap to a non-member's world, do the clue scrolls there. If the clue scroll tells you to go to somewhere that is not on the beach, destroy the clue scroll, get a new clue scroll, and it'll be on the beach, and you just keep doing that. So sometimes the clue is like, travel across the lands to the top of the mountain and pray to Jesus or something. You just destroy the clue scroll, pick up a new one, and it says, talk to the lady with the coconuts, and then you can get it. But once you've completed the clue scroll, and you've got the chest that you get at the end of the clue scroll, you have to swap back to a member's world to open it. Otherwise, you'll get non-member rewards. Swapping back to... Wow, I'm hungry. I'll get some food after this. Swapping back to Neos, because we have a question. See how this works is great. Is there any documentation on the number pad keybinds on the camera and 360 camera launch modes for Neos? There are not. I didn't know that they had number pad keybinds. News to me, so no news on that. I'll have to add that to my documentation list, which is like huge. We are now at 1:30, so final bit on RuneScape. Then, once the beach ended, they added this Lost Wills event. And that's where, like, when you do random activities, you gain wills, and you exchange wills to a skeleton man, and he gives you chests, and you open those chests, and you get random rewards. Because I've been mining during that, I have, like, 5,000 of these lost wills, like, every couple of days. I go in there, and I just get so much junk. I've got, like, 7 or 8 rings that make me look like a zombie, and you can't sell them or trade them, but I've got 7 of them, and it's just like, why am I getting duplicates? Why? But anyway, we will leave off there as there are no additional questions, and this is not a RuneScape office hours. So I'm going to go ahead and call it there. I will speak to you guys next week, where I will be in the new place. I just processed the audio for last week's. I will endeavor to process the audio for this week's now. I do need to do some more packing, so that will be where I don't need to use my computer. It does slow down the computer a lot. And then I'll get that all sorted. Lex, understood. I'll try and get to those to you as soon as I can. Apologies for the delay there. I am quite busy trying not to die with my boxes. I will speak to you guys later.